But you can't, that, you can't park on the street really along Wilton, right? So there's limited access to street parking, I guess.
Yeah, there's only street parking on the north side of, well.
Do the Wolfolks own the 3030 lot as well?
No.
They don't, that's a different developer?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I think if we, if I may, if I could give some context to the affordable reduction that we can take for the parking, that works really well when we're working with the workforce affordable housing in the 50 and 60% AMI levels. When we're assisting individuals who are making $1,000 per year or less, we can cite several examples that have 35 apartments, there may be two people with cars. Another example of an apartment building with 19 units, who have cars. It's just super difficult for someone who is at or under $1,700 a month to be able to afford that. They've got other, other priorities at that time.
So is this a, are these one-bedroom units, all 36?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And so you could have two occupants there, and are you looking at a combined income? Or is it an individual income?
The individual income is 21, and we go to two people. Excuse me just one moment. I believe it goes to 20. It doesn't go up there a lot. I will pull it up.
That's okay. I just was, just curious.
It would go to $27,000, I think, $27,000, $28,000 for two people.
Okay.
So it isn't like it doubled.
Okay. And did you guys look at any kind of a reduction at all to try to accommodate some of the landscaping or anything? I mean, this is, it looks like you've sort of maximized your building envelope, and I'm just wondering if you considered any other sort of reductions here to accommodate any of this.
On the landscaping?
Well, this, you've sort of built this out to the maximum, is that correct? In terms of footprint?
That's correct.
Height, everything?
To a certain degree, we built it out to the maximum, but this zone district is CMX5, so in theory, we could have, it's a zero lot line setback. So we could have actually built it all the way to the property line. So what was happening is when we started to add these access areas for the fire department and trying to get into the garage, things like that, it started to carve up the space, and it didn't really allow us a lot of other options to provide outdoor landscape areas and things like that. We did provide a, on the second floor, we have an outdoor patio for them to use so that they have somewhere to go outside.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna, I do have two folks in the room that were here in the opposition. And one was sort of opposition, sort of, maybe not super strong. I'm just going to move to them for a moment since they came down here to see if they wanted to add anything to this discussion. So give me one moment. Do either one of you want to speak on this specifically? If you do, sir, have a seat there. We're going to see them. We should see them on the screen here. Would you state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Zachary Willis. I'm at 3019 Wilton Street.
Thank you. And go ahead and tell us what you'd like to add.
So I just want to begin by saying that everybody that I've talked to supports Charity's House, their mission, their goals. We want to see them succeed. We're just not sure that
it's really hard to hear you. Can you speak up, please?
Sure.
The speaker for the room is actually over there.
So yell this way.
I wanted to begin by saying that all people that I've spoken to, and myself included, we feel as though this is a worthy project. Charity's House does great work. We're just uncomfortable with the current development plan as it stands now. We would like to work together to reach a compromise that could meet everybody's goals. I have a particular issue with the parking because I feel like what's been represented in the appeal isn't reality. So I sit across the street from the development, and the last 2 months I've been working from home. I look out my window at those properties, and there are at least two cars already associated with those buildings. And if I'm being generous and say there's 10 people living there now, that's 20% of residents who have cars. If we scale that up to 36 units with one person per unit, you're going to need 7 cars. If that's two people per unit, that's over 75 people living there, that's 15 cars. And you're not providing any spaces for residents. In your application, you said those 5 spaces you're creating are for operational needs and for staff. So that leaves no parking for residents at all, given that Welton Street only has one side of the street that even allows parking. Downing doesn't have any parking at all, because the spaces there are reserved for a shop and for the grocery store. I don't know that what the Denver statistics are, but the U.S. Department of Transportation says that in their National Household Travel Survey, 80% of people in the lowest income bracket, which is 25,000 below, have a car. That might not be the case for this population, but from what I've seen, a percentage of your population does have a car. Earlier in this hearing, Ms. Sanchez says that there's a much lower need for parking, but didn't say there's no need. And the architect said that there is after their survey, there's a need for 4 cars, but the application says that those 4 spaces they're making are for staff. To me, it sounds as though there's a lot going on in this development, and that 36 units maybe can't be maintained. It sounds as though they're maximizing their space to get as many people in there as possible, and maybe the lot just can't support that many people if they can't provide parking for what's needed. So I think there must be a compromise in here somewhere. I don't see that 22 parking spaces going deficient as being an overly sustainable thing, especially if in 20 years it becomes something else, then we've got potentially 75 people living there who don't have a place to park their car. So I think that's the gist of my comments.
Okay.
I think it's a worthy project. I think it can be scaled differently to actually support people who are living there, support the neighborhood, and support the overall needs of the community. And I hope that we can work with them on that.
Okay, thank you. Did you want to add anything? Just, I'll be brief. And just come up and then give your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Teresa Ellis. I live at 3015 Walton Street, also across the street from the proposed development. Like that, all of us in the development are that I've spoken to that live in the neighborhood across the street are supportive of the proposed project. Although we did not receive any outreach, nobody on our side of the block, or my understanding is the store that's next to the building, knew about the development until last week when the sign went up. So we did not really have an opportunity to have any back and forth with the developers, so we're just going on what information we were able to pull together in the last week. We do have, as Zach said, serious concerns about the parking issue. I have worked in the community and with people who are of limited means, and for many people who are at that level of income, having a car is one of their only ways of getting to work, if they're able to get work. And also my major concern about the parking is if there's only one space for handicapped access, that really limits the ability for them to accommodate more than one or two people who have needs, special needs. And I'm worried about if there are members of the population who have in-home service needs, that there won't be a way for those vehicles to get there to support them. So the car issue is a big one for me for the residents. It won't really impact me personally. I'm thinking more about other people in the neighborhood who do need the street parking. And because there's only parking on one side of that street and none around the corner, for those residents who do need to park, they will have to hoof it pretty far to find a space. So the parking is a big issue for us, and I think that there was already a variance given on that same block for a unit that is providing zero parking for a hostel. So to have two buildings in the block that will have upwards of 60, 70, 100 people between the two buildings, and zero parking is a lot to ask of the neighborhood who need to park every day.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Madam Chair, may I ask Mr. Parcell a question?
You may.
Mr. Parcell, earlier you were referring to the RTD station that's nearby. Were you talking about the Weldon and 29th Street station?
No, I was talking about the 30th and Downing. It's just right around the corner.
Okay, so, great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Any other questions from board members right now? I've got to work to wrap this up. If there aren't any questions from board members, I'm going to move to check in with the city. Do you have any questions? And if the city doesn't have any questions, I'd like to hear the city's position. Okay, thank you.
Could you repeat what he said?
The city said that they are not opposed if the board finds hardship.
Thank you.
And so with that, are there any final comments from the appellant? And I don't know if Ms. Sanchez, you have any final, or Mr. Parcell or Wolfa.
Can you tell us on the landscaping?
I asked that, and I didn't really get any. Yeah. Any other comments from the appellants?
I think so. Just to reiterate that we did a lot of discussion with staff. We went to four stories rather than five stories. We did not put in an entire first floor parking, rather put in offices and service space, which was forefront, and activate Wilson and Downing, and just that having been involved in some housing projects for the last 6 years and having built seven, I can, rather than anecdotally, can actually provide studies that show that we do not have residents with cars.
Okay. Thank you for your information. I am going to close this case now and just entertain discussion or a motion amongst the board, and I don't know if there's any discussion.
I'd like to know if anyone has really found hardship, because my question is, the offices that will have people coming in, are we assuming that they will be walking from somewhere and not driving?
Yeah, that would be my assumption. There's a light rail station right
there. Yeah.
Actually, this is just a discussion amongst the board for right now, and if we have additional questions, we'll ask that. And Nancy, I don't know if you're, and maybe I misunderstood this, but the offices on the front of this are for the management of this building.
Well, even if they are, there are people working there, so somehow they have to arrive.
Right. And I think in part, it was said in there that there's limited spaces that could be used for staff or, you know, folks from the unit. I'm struggling with the hardship, and this is a tough one for me because I think these types of projects are so needed, and affordable housing and things like that are just so important to our city, but this is a brand new ground up project that just seems like it might be pushing it a little bit too much for me anyway, so I'm struggling with the hardship. I'm trying to look at the floor plan on that ground level, and I can't quite tell what's in the front area right up against Welton. It seems like it's sort of hashed out, and then we get the community room and office, and then I know trash and all kinds of other things there, but I don't know, I'm struggling with the degree of deficiency in this one. Anyone else have any questions or comments or discussion amongst us?
Well, I agree with you. I think, well, I mean, I can, if you really zoom in, you can barely see, but it is offices, there's a lobby, community lounge. And obviously these spaces are sized off of the number of units. This is definitely, this building is maxed out, obviously, to the building envelope, the number of units. I have an issue with the parking as well. I think just, you know, there's a lot of residential around here, and there's really not much street parking available to begin with. So I'm struggling with that.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
I can just, get my comments in. I do think less parking is probably more compatible with this neighborhood. I know there's a lot of historic shops and commercial corridors and even apartment buildings that lack any parking at all, which the impact of that would be higher if this weren't one for 30% of AMI residents and two right across the street from the light rail station. So to me, the compatibility with the non-SOV mobility, I guess leaves me in support of
any other comments from anybody or a motion? Anybody?
I think I'm in the minority here, so I don't think.
Yeah, I haven't heard any other real strong support. Jose, are you there?
Yes, I think I can watch it again.
Do you have any comments?
Yes. Madam Chair, case number 32-3, 32-3, 32-6, Lawson Street. I hope we find again, you know, I have stopped for the grant area for one of the most.
Second.
Motion was made by Mr. Awayo to find the denial proper and to grant the variance per plans and testimony. That was seconded by Mr. Young.
And any further discussion on that? If there's not, go ahead and call the vote.
Ms. Burkhart?
No.
Mr. Keating?
No.
Madam Chair?
No. So that motion fails. And so I don't, I think that we could put a second motion out there. We could offer even a continuance because I think that it's possible that this project could use some relief, and there may be support for some relief, but not to the degree that you're asking. So we could offer, you know, make a motion for a continuance to allow you to go back and kind of work things a bit more and see if you can minimize the request. Are you interested in that?
Yes.
Okay, does the board have any support for that, for a motion for a continuance?
I do, Madam Chair. I move to request the appellant have we consider this to be a continuance, that the appellant comes back in, submit plans to see if they can reduce the amount of violations.
Second.
I'd like to see a timeline in that, please.
Do we need one? I mean, it's up to them. It's not like they can move forward without. I mean, they can always not come back before us and build something compliant. Does that make sense to you, Nancy? Are you still wanting a...
I'd like to see, yes, I'd like to give them the encouragement by saying 60, 90 days, whatever.
I would caution us in that this is a project that's been being worked on for years and years, and it's not as if they can move forward and do anything non-compliant without us. So, and given everything that's going on right now, sometimes business is a little harder to conduct. So I would just say it's up to them, and they may never come back before us. They may decide that they're either going to move on to a different site or they're going to just build something compliant. So
I would make the note that the community has asked for outreach, and especially if the developer is going to reach out to the community and try to resolve some of these problems, it's certainly going to take longer than 30, 60 days.
That's a good point. Okay, well, we have a motion on the table. We have a second. Is there any other discussion? And if there's none, go ahead and call the vote.
Okay. So the motion on the table is to continue the case to a date certain, to allow the appellants to try to reduce the violations and do some community outreach, see if they can gain some support. Motion is made by Mr. Keevney, it was seconded by Mr. Young. Mr. Wyatt?
Aye.
Ms. Burker?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye. Okay, so you've been granted a continuance, and I think with that said, that means that there is some support amongst the board to grant some kind of relief, but just feeling like this was a little too much. So when you are ready to come back before the board, certainly contact our office. And as I said, if you decide never to come back and you don't need to, then just let us know and we'll just dismiss the case. All right, everyone, for that matter, thank you for showing up, and we will move on to the next one. Thank you.